Hey, y'all say it with me. The word of God is God speaking to me. The word, now look at your neighbor, point at your neighbor, and tell your neighbor the word of God is God speaking to you. Now point to yourself and say, the word of God is God speaking to me. You know, a lot of people want God to speak to them, but they don't want to do what he says. And that's the reason why he don't say anything else. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I would like the message. My message today is love never fails. Love never fails. And I will begin at the first epistle of Corinthians chapter 13. This is the love chapter, verses 4 through 8. And I will be reading out of the Amplified Bible in the name of Jesus. It says, verse 4, it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. You know that some of us will endure long, but we ain't patient and kind while we enduring. Some of us can be enduring, but we letting the other person know that we enduring. Amen. But love don't do that. It says love endures long and is patient and kind. It says love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. It says, love, God love in us. That's that love in us. Does not insist on its own rights or its own ways. So a lot of times we want to have our own right. We want to have our own way. It got to be my way. It's how. But you don't want to. If your rights and your ways going to affect the other person, a lot of times it doesn't matter whether you get your rights or not. You know what I'm saying? It's what the other person is, how you're affecting the other person with your actions and what you're doing. We don't have to have our rights all the time. Amen. So that's what love do. It says love does not insist on its own rights or its own ways. And it says it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. See that love on the inside is not touchy. Amen. It's not easily irritated. It's not fretful. You know what I'm saying? It bitterness that come up and it's not resentful. It don't resent anything. That's what that love of God on the inside, amen, do for us if we allow it to work on the inside of us. And it says it takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Just imagine a bank account. You got a bank. You deposit money to that bank. Amen. You withdraw money from that bank. But guess what love do? Love don't take account of that hurt, of that wrongdoing. Love don't take account of it. Amen. It don't even pay attention to it. Somebody do you wrong, like, man, you know what? I'm walking in love. I ain't even paying attention to it. See, that's what love do. And that's what he's saying. Don't even pay attention to it. Don't even let it affect your spirit, man. Amen. But a lot of times, we haven't been taught, amen, to operate in that love. And so what we do, we let our minds, amen, our minds that haven't been restored, renewed by the word of God, we let our flesh, amen, dominate our spirit, man. And guess what? Our spirit, man, that real man on the inside of us, it suffers at the expense of our heads and our bodies. Amen. And we allow that flesh to dominate us. And that's why we go all crazy. When people talk about it, we get all bent out of shape. We get all touchy. We get all fretful. We get all resentful because we're not operating in the love of God. But if we get in that word, amen, and we begin to let that word grow. Let it develop. Let that word increase in our life. Amen. You'll see that love starting to grow. And we'll see in the chapters coming. I'm going to show you about that love and how that love can grow. Amen. And it says, it takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to the suffered wrong. Verse 6, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoice when right and truth prevail. Now, verse 7, now this is the love thermometer. Now, this verse is going to show you where you're at. This is going to locate you. It's gonna locate you where you are in your love walk and how you're doing. This is a love thermometer. Look what it says. Love bears up under anything and everything. Somebody say anything. Somebody say everything. That's any. That's without exception. It's all, everything, no matter what it is. I don't care what anybody did to you. It says love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Get what it says? Is ever ready to believe the best in everybody. You ready to believe the best. But a lot of us know we want to believe the worst in people. No, the Bible says it's ever ready to believe the best in everybody. So we always be on the ready. We're going to believe the best no matter what they do. Hey, I believe. I know this person that did me wrong. I know this person had a past. I know this person I did wrong in the past. Amen. But guess what? I'm going to be ready to believe the best in them because God believe the best in you. How many of y'all was born saved? How many of y'all were born saved? I'm talking about just with the Holy Ghost shouting. God, we had to go to Jesus Christ just like every other believer, like every other sinner had to go to Jesus Christ. And God forgave us. The Bible says even while we was in sin doing wrong. Amen. We was at our worst. Amen. We weren't even worthy to be saved. Guess what? He came and died for us. That's that love that God showed. Amen. So guess what? We got to die for our brothers. Amen. In prayer. Believing the best of them. Amen. Loving them. Loving on them no matter what they're doing. Amen. Don't let that wrongdoing frustrate us. Don't let it get us off course. Stay in that word. Amen. Love bears upon anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best in everybody. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. Love don't get weak. Amen. Love only grows. Amen. It says love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Amen. Love don't never come to an end. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 13, the Gospel of John. Amen. Chapter 13. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. John chapter 13. And I want to talk about the new love, the new law of the new commandment. Amen. Jesus came and he changed it. Amen. In the Old Testament, amen, you had the old commandment, the Old Testament. Jesus came to fulfill that. Amen. And how did he fulfill that? He fulfilled that by bringing the law of love. He fulfilled that by bringing love, by showing the love. And we're going to see in these next chapters, verses 34, it says, a new law I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that we are his disciples if we have love one for another. How are people going to know that we are God's disciples? Because of the love that we have in our hearts of our fellow brother, of our neighbor. I want to go to the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verses 14. Amen. 3 verses 14. You can read it. Do they have it on the screen? 1 John 3 and 14. And it says, we know. John say, we know. Not what we think about. Amen. It's not how we look at it. It's not our theory. You know what a theory is? A theory is a supposition established upon the ignorance of the subject under discussion. It's not our theory. It's not what we think about it. Amen. But what the Word of God says, it says, we know that we have passed from death, from spiritual death, unto life, eternal life. Why? Because we love the brother. How we know we are saved? How we know we are born again? Amen. Our spirit's been recreated. We are new creatures in Christ. Know how we know this? Know how we know that we pass from life, from death unto life? Because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abide in death. Now, I know you don't want to abide in death. Amen. We born again believers. Amen. So we can't abide in death. So we have this. We had this opportunity to walk in love. We had the opportunity to grow. The singer just now that said that, you know, let's give everybody a hug. You know what I'm saying? Tell them you love them. Amen. Let's start this new year out right. If you want to start the new year out right, let's start the new year out right in love. We're going to start this thing out in love. Romans 13 and 10. Romans 13 and 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. See, love don't hurt his neighbor. Love don't do his neighbor no harm. No matter what the circumstance. We just read, love endures everything without weakening. Love see the best in everybody. It says, love worketh no ill. Don't do anything against his neighbor. Guess what? Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So love fulfills all the law, all the old law, the Ten Commandments, amen. So we don't have to be bothered with all them laws and the Ten Commandments. You know, some people are gonna say, oh, we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Or if you walk in love, you don't wanna lie on your neighbor, do you? If you walk in love, you ain't gonna wanna covet your neighbor husband or covet your neighbor wife, would you? So he's saying that if we walk in love, we walk in that new law, the new commandment of love, that it fulfills all the law. Amen. And so you won't want to do anything. You want to go against any law or any commandment that was given to curb sin. So if you're walking in the law of love, you're going to cover the Ten Commandments. You're going to cover all the laws that was given to in the Old Testament to the children of Israel. So that's why he say all the law is fulfilled in one word, and that's love. Amen. Romans 13 and 8. I'm going to go to Romans 13 and 8. Amen. I'm going to be pushing these scriptures out because I want to get to some good stuff. You hear me? I mean, all of it is good, but I got something for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit. Not me. I'm out the way. But I'm talking about, look here. I just been blessed to study this word, getting excited. Amen. But it says in Romans 13:8, it says, owe no man anything It says, but to love one another, so he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You see in another scripture that he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. So now we know that love fulfills the law. We walk in love. But guess what it says? Owe no man anything. A lot of people look at this and say, well, the Bible says that we shouldn't owe nobody anything, that we shouldn't borrow from nobody. The Bible don't say that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, he said, owe no man anything. Amen. We're going to always be in debt to our brother to love him. We're going to always be in debt to him. We'll never be out of debt of loving somebody. Amen. And a lot of people say, don't owe no man anything. Don't you get electricity on credit every month, don't you? And you have to pay that. Oh, you got a house note. Some people's house might be paid up, but you got a house note, you pay that. No, you're not in debt until you don't pay it. When you don't pay it, that's when you get in debt. Amen. But as long as you pay it, you're not in debt. Amen. So we in debt. Amen. We'll never be able to pay the love walk that we show towards people. We're going to always be in debt towards each other. And that's what he's saying right here. And then when we love, guess what? We fulfill all the law of the old commandment that they had. They had to go by these precepts and all these things right here. We fulfill all of that in one word, in love. Ain't that something? Man, that's something to get excited about. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to go to Hebrews 8, 6, and 10. Man, I'm just excited, man. I hope you guys, man, I ask God to charge this atmosphere. I ask him to get me out the way because it's him that's going to make, amen, it's him that's going to empower us to walk in this love. I can preach the greatest message in the world, but if you don't get it, if God don't impart in your spirit, if he don't enlighten you, it ain't worth a hill of beans. It ain't worth a hill of beans, but I know that the Holy Spirit is in here today because the song today, the words today, amen, it just went right. Let's go right along with this message. And then starting out the year, we want to start the year good. We want to start the year in the Word of God. But now, look here, I want y'all to pay attention to this right here. This is good. This is lovely. This Word of God is good, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people, you know, the Bible say faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You know, a lot of people say, I've not heard that message before. No, the Bible don't say faith comes by having heard. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. If you hear the same message every day, you hear the same message every Sunday, it comes by hearing and hearing. It don't come by having heard. Amen. So you hear the same message, you should get excited every time you hear it. Every time that word is preached and you've not heard it before, you should get excited. Because if you get excited, you're losing the love of that word. And you need to get back in that love of that word. And you know what I'm saying? That's just a fact. Amen. So right here, Hebrews 8, 6. Hebrews 8 and 6, it says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. So right before these verses, he was referring to Moses. He was referring to the priesthood back in the Old Testament. He was referring to the tabernacle, right? And he was talking about these things are shadow of the things to come. You know what I'm saying? It was just representing the things in heaven. So everything that Moses did, the tabernacle and all these things they went through, is just a representative of what's already in heaven. And so he was saying that right before he got this verse. So now he's saying, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant. Y'all remember that word better. Y'all keep that word better from here on out while I'm preaching. Remember better. Remember better, because it's going to bless you. It says that he is a mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. Now, in the Old Testament, amen, God had wrote, he gave him Deuteronomy. If you go to Deuteronomy 28, you have to, it's not on there. You go to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which he command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations. Get what he says. All these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, and it says, if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord. So translating this into the New Testament language, he'll be saying, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, thy God, to observe to do all the love of the law that I command you. Translating, I just told you, remember that word better. He gave us a better covenant established upon better promises. So if the children of Israel got blessed, if they had a blessing, for keeping his commandments, for keeping the law that was written on the tablets of stones, amen, with the finger of God, which is the Holy Spirit, if they got a blessing for that, and we got a better covenant established upon better promises, so we can claim these promises that they had in the Old Testament. And plus, we got it better than that. So, you know, and he told them, no, he told the children of Israel, if you follow my precepts, if you follow my commandment, guess what? He said he'll take sickness. He said he'll take sickness from away from you. He said there won't be a barren among you. Won't be nobody having a miscarriage. And guess what he said? I love this part. I always claim this. He said you'll live out a long life. You'll live alone. Hey, who wanna live out a long life with no sickness and no diseases? We can claim them promises. We got it to claim. But guess what? It's something that you got to do. Because those promises of God, the blessings of God, just not going to fall on you like ripe cherries. It's something that you got to do. There are some qualifications that has to be met in order for us to receive from God. It's something that you got to do. Guess what you got to do? You got to claim it. See, they had the potentiality. They had the potentiality to get those blessings. But if they didn't follow his precepts, guess what? They wouldn't have received them. And so we got the same potentiality, amen, to receive them blessings, but it's not going to be, we're not going to get those blessings experimentally until we claim it, until we go, you got to claim it. You know what? The salvation is for the worstest person, for everybody. Salvation for everybody. Salvation for the murderer is for everybody. So it's potentially, amen, salvation is potentially for that sinner, amen. But if he don't receive it, amen, he's not going to get it experimentally. Amen. And guess what? Either that sinner haven't heard about the word of God, amen, is why he's not receiving it, or either he's heard about the word of God, amen, and he rejected the word of God. Amen. So God is letting us know right here, we got those promises. He said those promises are going to overtake us. You know what I'm saying? He told the children of Israel, he said, if you keep my precepts, my commandments, it's going to overtake. Man, look here. Man, when you like some blessings to overtake you, to run you down, say, Kimmy, hey, that's what I want. I want them blessings to run me down. I'm talking about, hey, look here, run me down. I want to be blessed and highly favored. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus, we got a right to claim these things. We got a right to claim them, and we can have them. The Bible say that we were saved, and then it says that we were saved, so we were saved. We were saved, and if we were saved, we are, forgive me, I'm talking about healing now, I'm sorry. And that goes with salvation too, because the same way we get salvation is the same way we get our healing. The same way we got healing is the same way we get the baptism in the Holy Spirit, all the same way, receiving it, claiming it. But what I wanted to say is healing. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. So if we were healed, then we was healed. And if we was healed, we are healed. It's already there. It's there. It's in the atmosphere. This claim. It's right there. God's blessing is right there in the atmosphere. We just got to claim it. And we got to receive it. We got to take it. Amen. And let's go on to verse, amen. That was the sixth verse, the seventh verse. Amen. It says, finding fault with them, he said, behold, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. That's this day. A New Testament love law with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the eighth verse, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, but because they continue not in my covenant and I regard them not, says the Lord. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. And that's these days. And guess what he says? He says, I will put my laws in their mind. And that Greek word for put, he said, I will give their law. You got to catch this right here. He said, I will give their laws in my mind. He gave us the written word. So we got the word of God. He said, I'll give them laws in their minds. Amen. But he don't stop there. He gave us the written word, amen, to read, to grow, you know, in the Lord, to be blessed. But he went a little further. He said, I give my laws into your minds. He said, I write them on your heart. He said, I write them in their heart. He said, what he's saying, he says, and I will write them in their hearts. What he's saying, I will write them into their hearts. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He has given us that love. He given us, and guess what? He not only gave it to us, amen, but he gave us the means by which we can walk in love. He gave us his Holy Spirit to empower us to walk in that love. Amen. He not give it to us. So if God is not going to tell us something that we can't do, because if God tell us something that we can't do, then he'll be unjust. He'll be unjust, won't he? If he tell us to do something we can't do. And when God tells us to do something, he's not going to tell us to do something that he wouldn't do, because he already did it. He gave his son. His son died for us on the cross, amen, and gave up his life for us. And we need to give up our life for our brothers by not being mean to them, by not being resentful, amen, by not showing no ill will. The Bible says, don't show no ill will to your neighbor, amen, to walk in love, amen. So he says, I will put my laws into their minds. He gave us the written word. He said, I will write it in their hearts, amen, which is the Holy Spirit empowering us. When we're born again, we our spirits is born again, is recreated. Our minds still ain't, we still got this old thinking, so we got to renew our mind. The Bible says don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we got to get in this word, got to get this mind lined up with the word of God, and we got this flesh to contend with. We still got this Adamic nature. Amen. Ain't nothing changed about this. We still got that beast in us. Everybody got that beast. I don't care who you are. You got this flesh to contend with. Amen. And Paul said in, this is actually my last verse, but it's a good time to say it right now. But in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, I keep my body up under subjection. And a lot of people believe that they're talking about sexual sins. And it is talking about sexual sins, but it's also talking about keeping that mouth up under subjection. Yeah, not backbiting or talking about people. Amen. Not gossiping. Amen. 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 So he's talking about that too. We're going to keep everything. Keep that mouth up under subjection. We're going to keep everything up under subjection. In the name of Jesus. And I will be to them a God, and there shall be to me a people, in the name of Jesus. And that scripture I just quoted just a few minutes, Romans 5:5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So that love is shed right here. And you know what? I'm finna get to something right now. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 14. And I want to show you something about that love. You know that love is the first fruit that shows up in the recreated human spirit. That's the first fruit. The first fruit that shows up in the recreated spirit. I'm going to show you right now. It says, verse 14. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. One word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Go down to verse 22. Amen. Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the spirit. Now, you see that word spirit? You got that word spirit is capitalized. It got a big S, so that indicating that it's the Holy Spirit, because you know when you got a small S, you know it's the human spirit. But W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament and Old Testament words say that there was only one word for spirit, and that was pneuma. And so if it didn't indicate Holy Spirit, you wouldn't even know what spirit that they're talking about. And right here, they should have been a lowercase S. It's not talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about fruit of the recreated spirit, and I'm gonna prove it to you in the scriptures to come. Amen. But it says the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Can't nothing come against love. He said against such there is no law. The devil can't bring nothing to our mind. He can't bring our past back to us. He can't remind us of our past, because against such, amen, there is no law. Amen. Let's go to John. I'm going to show you that S should have been capitalized. So John, the Gospel of John, amen, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to show you right now that S should have been capitalized is the Holy Spirit, the small spirit, the small S, that's us, of our recreated human spirit in the name of Jesus. So it reads verse 1, amen, 15. It says, Jesus says, I am the vine. Now, this Jesus talking. Now, this Jesus. This, y'all just said earlier now. Y'all just told me now. The word of God is God speaking to me. That what y'all said? So the word of God is speaking to you right now. Amen. And guess what the Bible says? The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a worker that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm dividing it right now. This is it right now, in the name of Jesus. And I told you that the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the recreated Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Where did fruit grow at? You ever see fruit grow on the bark of the tree, or the vine of the tree, so to speak? Where fruit? Fruit grow on the branch. Fruit, I ain't never seen fruit grow on the vine but that fruit gets its nourishment from the vine, from the bark of the tree. It gets its nourishment. So he's saying right here that he, and so the fruit of the recreated Holy Spirit we talked about in Galatians 5, 22, that's the fruit of the recreated Holy Spirit, that love. See, that love out there, that love grow. And we get our nourishment from Jesus Christ. He says right here, he says, now ye are clean through my word, which I have spoken to you. He said, you are clean through his word. I just read that he's not given us his word. He given us a written word. Not only did he give us a written word, he wrote it in our hearts. In the Old Testament, the word of God was written on tablets of stone by the finger of God. And that finger of God was the Holy Spirit. It was written, and now it's written on our hearts. In Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel 26, and Jeremiah, he talks about that. He said, I'm gonna get that stony heart, I'm gonna replace it and give you a heart of flesh. And that was talking about the time to come now. We're saying that the Holy Spirit was gonna come, amen, and he was gonna bring a new us. We're going to be a new self. We're going to be recreated, amen. The Holy Spirit is not no longer going to just you know, in the Old Testament, they had to go to Jerusalem. Every year they had to go to Jerusalem, amen. And that's where the presence of God was nowhere else but in Jerusalem. And only kings, priests, and prophets, and certain people that God used in a mighty way that the Spirit of God came upon them. It didn't live in them. The Spirit of God came upon them. The Spirit of God couldn't live in them because Jesus Christ hadn't died yet. He said in his word, Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet because I hadn't died. So they were spiritually dead in the Old Testament. Yeah, they had power. The Spirit of God was with them, but they wasn't born again. They couldn't have been born again because Jesus hadn't yet came. It wasn't until the New Testament that we're able to have our spirit man new. Amen. And it says in the word, and he says that now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken. Abide in me, and I in you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. The last verse, verse 5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So we can't do nothing without God. Our fruit can't grow. We can't prosper. We can't grow. We can't increase. We can't develop in our love unless we abide in him. And what he's talking about abiding in him, we got to get in his word. We have to get in his word. That's the only way you're going to grow. You cannot believe. Check this out. You cannot believe beyond the knowledge of the word of God that you got. You can't, if you ain't got no knowledge of the word of God, how you gonna believe? You can't believe beyond that. You can't believe beyond his word. If you believe beyond his word, you out there in sin. You out there in danger. You can't believe beyond his word. So how are we gonna know him? How are we gonna abide in him? We're gonna get in his word. How are we gonna walk in love? How our love is gonna develop? How it's gonna increase? How it's gonna grow? It's by getting in his word. And not only getting in his word, but acting on his word. We got to act. Love is an act. Faith is an act. It's an act. We got to act. Act like the word of God is true. Act like you might not like somebody. I hate my mother-in-law. I hate my father-in-law. You don't really hate him. You're born again believer. You don't really hate him. You know what I'm saying? Just check on the inside. Just check right here on the inside. When you tell him you hate him, check out what's up on the inside. This is where this real man is, right here. Not this fleshy thing. The spirit man is right here. This is where it's at. This is where everything comes from. Everybody, every time I when the baptism came on me and I spoke in tongues, it came from down here. It ain't come from here. It ain't come from my flesh. It came right here. Amen. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to get in that word. He wants you to abide in that word. He wants you to grow. Like the lady was like our praise and worship leader said that you don't want, you know, you want to be blessed. You don't want to live in no sickness. You want to be healed. We want to start this new year out right. And this is the way to start out right in love. See, God is love. The Bible says that God is love. So if God is love, and we're children of God, we're children of love. We love children. And we're supposed to be examples of that love. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 32. Ephesians 4, I'm going to Ephesians 4 and 32. It says, and be ye kind one to another. Check this out. He said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Ain't that something? Ain't that strange that that Paul had the right to a church, to these born-again believers, to remind them to be tenderhearted, to be kind, to be forgiving to one another? You know why he wrote to them? Because he knew that you know, we in this flesh, amen? And he knew that if we don't pay attention to that word, he knew that they ain't pay attention to that word. If he didn't keep that word in them, if he didn't keep, you know, mention to them, amen, that they can go back into operating in the flesh, go back and let that mind, that flesh dominate their spirit. So these born-again believers, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us. Guess what? We're not going to remind our husband. We're not going to remind our wife of the past failures and the past mistakes. We're not going to remind our children of their past failures and their past mistakes. That's not love. That's not love. God don't remind us. The Bible says he has forgiven us. He has not. He forgot. Guess what? Love and faith go hand in hand, and forgetting go hand in hand too. I heard one lady talking about something. She say, I'm going to forgive him, but I ain't going to forget. You're a bald-faced liar. Because forgetting come with it. You got to forget. How are we going to forget? Yeah, guess what? The devil is going to bring a picture of it to your mind. Oh, you can't stop it. You can't stop the bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from having a nest, laying a nest up there. Yeah, the devil is going to bring it to your mind, right? He's going to bring it to your mind. But guess what? You tell that devil, say, yeah, devil, that happened. I'm not forgiving them. They're not forgiving me. That's only a photo. That's a photo of what happened. It no longer exists. I'm going to walk in love. Ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm going to walk in my healing. I'm going to let them blessings overtake me. I'm going to be a lender, not a borrower. Amen. I'm going to be blessed coming in and going out. Amen. I can claim them blessings. You know why I can claim them blessings? Because I'm walking in the law of love, the new law of love. And guess what? That love, can't nothing come against that love. I just read in Galatians 5, can't nothing come up against that love. Can't no law, can't no demon in hell come up against that. And can't nobody, nothing. The devil, all his imps and unseen forces, they can't come against the blessings. I can claim them. And you got a right to claim them, because if the children of Israel had this blessing, I told you to remember that better. The children of Israel had that blessing to claim. It wasn't a sick among them. Amen. It wasn't a barren woman. Nobody had, it wasn't no miscarriages. Amen. And they lived out their long life. So if they claim that promise, they did what God said, and we got a new law, the Bible says, a better covenant. I told y'all, remember that word better. He said you got a better covenant established upon better promises. Can you say it? We got it. We got it. We got what they got and better. It was better than Moses in Moses' time. And we read the Bible, we know they was blessed. They left Egypt, man, with all the spoils. Don't y'all want to leave Egypt with all the spoils? Hey, man, I'm talking about spiritually speaking. I don't want to be sick. I tell my wife all the time, man, I live in divine health, man. My wife say, she say, you need to go to the hospital. I don't dodge the hospital. I ain't scared to go to the hospital. I want to go to the hospital, but I say, babe, I can't afford to go to the hospital. That's why I believe God for my healing. I can't afford to get sick. You know what I'm saying? I want to go to the hospital because I want to prove that the word of God is true. I want to go in there and tell me something I already know. I'm already healthy. I'm walking in healing. I ain't got no cancer. I ain't got no kind of disease. You know why? Because I follow this law of love. But have I been perfect in love? No, I haven't been perfect in it. We all haven't been perfect in it. But guess what? The fruit, like I just said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Love is the first fruit that grows up. Guess what? Fruit can grow. It can grow. It don't have to be the same. So if you feel like you ain't walking in love, it's okay. It's okay. It grows. We're going to miss it. I get short with my wife. You know, I get short with that time, but she get me right. She put that fist up, and I get right. I tighten up. She get on me now. That's just Jamaican there. Well, she get on me. I be like, oh, man, I don't feel like wrestling with this girl here today. I say, all right, baby, I forgive. I don't say I'm sorry no more, because my wife says, I'm sorry, don't do nothing. All them apologies don't do nothing. I say, I tell you what, one thing you can't go against is me asking you to forgive me. You got to forgive me. So I understand that. See, forgiveness carry a stronger weight than that. I'm sorry, I apologize, because forgiveness, amen, forgiveness, it's all encompassing, amen. It just covers a spectrum of things. But I'm sorry, I apologize, forgiveness. When you ask somebody to forgive you, then you make a painstaking effort not to do that, whatever the wrongdoing was, to them again. You know what I'm saying? You remorseful. But I'm sorry, I apologize. That ain't being remorseful. I mean, it's just a little shadow of, you know what I'm saying, of things, you know what I'm saying? You're just throwing out there. But when you ask a person to forgive you and you're walking in that forgiveness, amen, I got 2 minutes. Check this out. I'm going to run through this because I want to get this right here. Amen. It says, I'm going to Mark the 11th chapter, the 22nd, 26th verse. And it says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, verse 22, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Verse 23, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So I get excited about that verse, because it says, if you, whatever things you desire, something that you desire, when you pray and you stand praying, you believe him, he say, you shall have them things. So you know by faith that I don't got it now, but he gave me the promise. He giving me his word. If I believe it, I'm going to have it, even though I don't have it, but I know it's coming to pass. But guess what? That ain't all he said. We get excited about that, but the next verse, we don't get too excited about this right here. I don't get excited about it. It says, and when ye stand praying, see, in that previous verse, they was praying, he say, forgive. When you stand praying, forgive. If you got art against somebody, you know what art is anything. A lot of people say, well, I can hold a big thing against somebody. You know what I'm saying? I can not do a big thing, but just a little thing, I hold on to the little thing. No, art means art. The small things, the medium size, the big things. Guess what he said? I'm running out of time. So I want to give you this right here. The Bible says, the small foxes that spoils the vine. The Song of Solomon 2:15. So what he was saying that vineyard, amen, that Solomon was talking about, that vineyard represented the love, amen, and the intimacy between the bride and his groom, amen. And them foxes, amen, they represented those little small things that can come in, you know what I'm saying, and destroy that love that bride and groom had in the Song of Solomon. So what he's saying, don't let them little small, get them little small foxes out of there. He say, deal with them small foxes. So they won't destroy your relationship. Get them small foxes out of there. So it's them little things that you think that's insignificant, those are the things that'll destroy you if you don't pay attention to them. And that's what you want to do. Pay attention to the little small things. We know about the big sins and everything. And guess what? Even in your thought life, I'm going to close on this. Even in your thought life, see, I can't see your thoughts. I mean, if you rob a bank, I can see that. Or you fight somebody, cuss somebody, I can hear it, I can see it. But nobody don't know your thoughts. But guess what? God will judge. I always say this. I believe this. I stand on it because it happened to me. God will judge you quicker on your thought lights, on your thought life, than he would when you do something physical. And if you think you not got away with something, if you're doing something right now, you thinking I got away with it, you ain't got away with it. Payday coming. Trust me, payday is coming. I know it from my own experience. Payday is coming. Payday is coming. Amen. So don't allow them small foxes, amen, to hinder your love walk with others. And when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Amen. And I want to get to this verse. Amen. I'm closing. It's for in Jesus Christ. It's Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So if you want your faith to work, you know, this is one of the biggest hindrances that Jesus talked about. There's other hindrances in the Bible, but this is one of the biggest hindrances of our faith right here, is not walking in love. And faith word about love. Don't even, if you ain't walking in love, ain't no sense you even praying. You just, I don't even pray. If I ain't walking in love, I don't even pray. And when there's something going on in my life, the first place I check up in my love walk, and I go from there. You know that. You know how you check things. You know, you might got a problem with electricity, and you want to check this first, check that. My first check is that love walk. And then I go from down there. Okay, what I'm doing here? What I'm doing here? What I'm doing there? Amen. And eventually I work through it. Amen. I can begin to believe God again for his promises and his blessings in the Bible. Amen. And I can move on. And this last verse, 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, for the love of God constraineth me. You know what constrain means? Constrain means compel. It means to almost like force. I mean, you have your own will. God ain't going to force you to love. But that love that's been shed abroad in our heart, Romans 5:5, that love of God that's been shed in our heart by the Holy Spirit, it empowers us. It gives us strength to endure. It gives us the strength to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And that first fruit that shows up is the fruit of love. Amen. And can you all stand with me? Amen. Amen. I'm done. I did what I had to do. Amen. Glory. Thank you. I'm tired. I ain't tired from preaching. I'm tired from that praise and worship. I was over there praising and worship, and I was like, oh, Lord, God, give me the strength to come up here and get that word, man, because that preaching was just awesome. And you know, I just pray that God just do what he need to do, that you knew, do what you need to do. You know, if you think that, you know, we got this altar open, right here. We got this altar open. If you really feel like that you're not where you need to be at in your love walk, and I know a lot of us ain't where I want to be. I want to grow. Cause like like yesterday, my wife told me, I said, baby, cause I want to get everything right before I come up here and preach. I said, baby, anything I not done to you, baby? Say, yeah, you were short with me yesterday with dad. I said, baby, forgive me. I told this mom, I said, baby, forgive me, cause I want to come up here. I think my wife still with me because she know I practice that love walk. I done been mean to my wife. I ain't know I was mean. She told me I was mean. And then I look back on it, I said, you know what? And she used that word nasty. I hate that word nasty. She said, you were so nasty to me because my wife was on the road with me for 4 years. Say, you were just so nasty to me when I was on the road. I said, baby, don't use that word nasty. Nasty is that. I'm like, Jesus. So I had to accept it. So, you know, I ain't been the best husband in the world, but I want to be the best husband. I know I can grow. I continue to pursue. I pursue. The Bible said, make love your aim. I aim to love. I aim to love everybody. I can love y'all. Like, I'm talking like, it's easy to love you guys. But, you know, with your own mate sometimes, people that's close to you, you know what I'm saying? We're giving them a hard time. That's just the truth. We give them a hard time. So, if you're not where you at in your love walk, man, I want to pray with you. Because we closing now. We done. You know what I'm saying? I want you to come up here, man. You know, just it's between you and God. Nobody don't know where you at in your love walk. Y'all don't know where I'm at in my love walk. I'm still working on it. I'm still, my God and my wife still working on me. Hey, I still miss it. But I tell you what, though. I told God when I got down here and prayed, amen, during that ministry moment, I said, Lord, after the day, I'm going to practice your love walk. I'm going to practice like I never practiced before. And every other thing in my life that I've been short in, that I've been missing in, I want to get that right. Because I want my new year to be blessed. I want to claim all your blessings. I want to blame. Hey, look here. I want to walk in divine healing. I want my money funny. I don't want my money to be funny no more. I want to be blessed. I want to prosper. I'm going to claim all the blessings that God has for us. The Bible said, I told y'all, remember that word better. The Bible said Jesus has established a better covenant. He gave us a better covenant, established upon better promises. And I look at the children of Israel getting blessed. Shoot, that was good. I love that. But you know, we like to give the people that aren't born again, that aren't saved, amen, that feel that, you know, I don't have that love. I just don't feel that love of God. I know I'm not born again. I need Jesus to come in my life. I want to walk in this kind of love. I want to claim God's blessings. You know, I want all that God has for me. You know, because you can't get God's blessings and his best, you know what I'm saying, unless you meet certain qualifications. Amen. And that's claiming. You got to claim it. It's there. Potentially it's there. Potentially it's yours. But it's not experimentally yours until you get it. It's yours. It's yours to claim. The Bible talks about the Spirit of God is always here. It's always here to heal. It's always in the atmosphere here. But you got to claim it. It's yours. And can't nobody take it away from you. God want to bless you. He want to see you blessed. Amen. In the name of Jesus.